And so I'm turning this morning to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. If it's a full woman, verse 8, you know. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we're thinking this morning about asking, what is the grace of God? What is that? It is a word that is very common on many tongues. Everybody now, it's even a part of greeting. You greet people and you want to say, well, and they say that too. Now, what is this grace? What does that mean? It is a very important thing to understand, because God hangs our present life as well as our eternal life upon that. So it's very important to understand what this grace is. And also, the Bible teaches that it is that which brings an entirely different outlook upon life. When I come to know the grace of God, it changes my view about life, it changes my view about God, it changes my view about myself. So it's a very vital thing to understand, the grace of God. And so we'll try to explain that. The person who has found your coupon at Dumho, it says, so be a come one, some say, a bimokra, a yinchiama, which you know, the above or backers is here. And so, as they are saying, and here's a tear, say, son, send your coupon, some train, say, young quats is here, and the end now mokra, a genasa, your coupon at Dumiso. Now, when you hear it, son said, now make us here, say, what tears here? A best son said, your wicked and quasi say as one cassa, ubra, young copon, and a minche will be as. It's a very vital thing. So I want to put that under five headings, and I don't hope to say too much, but enough, I hope, to make it clear. So under five headings, I want us to understand what grace means, because every one of them is very important. If you take any one of these, you may want to think of other things to make them a little more clearer. But if you miss any one of these five elements we're going to talk about, you're not talking about the grace of God. And so it's so important. The first is simply, we explain the grace of God as God's favor bestowed upon sinners for Christ's sake. That's the very first thing to remember. It's God's favor that assumes, or that presumes, that there is a disfavor. We are not living under God's favor. By nature, we are not under God's favor. Not living under God's favor means we are not really experiencing the blessing God really intended for us. Life may be kind to us, material advantages may be our portion, but these things are God's mercies bestowed upon His creation. Everybody, permit me, even animals, experience that. And so if I have good health, if I have good job, if I have a good pay, if I have a good family, and things like that, these may be mercies of God bestowed upon us. And we owe God for them. But that is not that favor we're talking about. And you're not to tell you what Brebom Maya, if you are a poor midi, a yapa, a miwo, and Adam for four more Pemasam, Muejuma, a Yama mini, a Kekahunua, and Yankopo, a more broad Odigum with Sudia, and so Yam Freno, Yankopo, Adam, and Yankopo, any so, and so, son of a kind of favor, yes, then Yankopo, any son, a Yakamuasam. This is a kind of a special favor, and it makes God smile upon me, it makes God accept me. It makes God receive me into His bosom, as it were. It makes me able to call upon Him, and He answers me. He makes Him to give me understanding. He makes Him call me a child, and I call Him a father, my father, you see. Sanyankopon enimpano, anayini sono eba misono. Eye de menyankopon, eshemise miyeniba. Nemisime to me friend, it's a yemeja. Yankopon enimiti womiso. Can you imagine that God has nothing against me? Absolutely nothing. The perfect and glorious God has nothing against me. Only He smiles upon my life.
My material portion may be the worst, but He smiles upon me. Sanyankopon afininim ekti ewomiso. Ebi asitse me eyedin krampo sanyankopon ninimiti ewomiso. And so that's that favor. And it comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come by nature. It doesn't come by education. It doesn't come by status or where you are, in which part of the world. It comes only and entirely through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something entirely dependent on what Christ has done. For this favor to be ours, for this favor to come among us sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, who is God, has to take on human nature and come among men and dwell among us. And so as to obey the laws of His Father that we have broken, the laws that we broke and brought us under the curse of God, He had to obey. He had to obey so that He will be the one to qualify to represent us before the Father. He had to obey us so that He will give that obedience, the benefit, the merits of that obedience to needy sinners like us. You see, and the radiso Christian kwasuneba ono yinyankopo obefa nimpati dia seye sedebeya obetimi ayesutie ama sa nyankopo emra na yeye buso ema enti nyankopo enim enti eweyen sono ono abesutie ama na enam sasutie no so nyankopo edi sasutie no hwenhira ama yen endibonyefo yi. And so the grace of God begins with God's smile, God's favor upon those who were once disfavored. And so it is. Oh, my dear friends, we have to stress this part a little. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one by whom this grace comes to us. So if I have not known the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I have known nothing about this grace of God. Se mi hunu Awurade Yesu Kristo a mi hunu sa Nyankopɔn adom no. Mi hunu na sɛ me sɛ I will explain that a little more, friends. And it didn't involve only His obedience. He had to suffer also. He had to bear the penalty for sin. Even though He is God, He took our nature in order to suffer, to die on the cross of Calvary, to bear the curse that we deserve because of our sin. Se de abebo hunu amane. There was this thing on YouTube. Some of you may have seen that. And it is about, I'm sure you know, because of what you call the AI on these systems. It's when somebody shows interest, I'm sure, and it brings a lot of them to you. There is this judge in the United States of America. And his court deals with people who... owing monies and things like this, and some of them they owe so much that they will have to be put into jail or lose their house, things like this. That was the kind of cases he deals with, and a number of times this is what he would do. They would bring a person before him, and then after he listened to the case, he would give his verdict and say, well, I find you guilty because the records really prove that you haven't been truthful to your contract, and so you have to either be punished for that or so. And then after he had said that, he would add this. He said that, but you know something? Years ago, my sister gave me some money, and he asked me to run a foundation with that. And so I run a foundation that caters for people who cannot pay debt like this. So if you like, apply, and then I will pay that debt for you. Because the same judge proclaims your guilt, the same judge proclaims the offer, the thing that will set you free from that guilt. This is imperfect, but it gives us some idea, isn't it? The same judge, the same man sitting on the bench does both. God is both a judge, and by grace, He becomes the one that also acquits us, that says we can go free, because the Lord Jesus Christ pays the debt. Irade, Eme, and Kwasebi to me, Adi, Yahu, Afe, Efrimo. So the grace of God, first of all, begins with this favor. My dear friends, I will go on with the others, but let me stress again. Without this favor of God, you do not know the blessing of God at all. And I can tell you, even the material blessings that you have, by and by they will become a trap and render you so ungrateful to God. That's what it is. If you do not know the favor of God, you and I will abuse whatever God gives, whatever way we can. That's us, friends. That's us. However you treat us, we spoil things. So when you say nyankopon enimti ewe yensua, bibia nyankopon di bema yen yebe seno. Yebe frano asitnemeishe sisi akrano yebe seno. And so my dear friend, do you long for this special favor? The special favor bestowed upon sinners for Christ's sake. He did the work. He suffered for other sins so that the special favor of God may rest upon us. The second thing about this grace is this. It is the favor of God which we do not deserve. We do not deserve this favor. Now, we do not deserve it for two reasons, at least. And I have to mention that. This is a favor we do not deserve because this favor finds us still in our sins, in our rebellion. We are still continuing in our rebellion against God. So that even when we hear about this grace, it doesn't find us as people who are really beginning to seek God. That's what the Bible teaches. It finds us still in our sins and in love of our sins. And so why should we deserve? Let me illustrate this. It's easy to do this. Imagine that you saw somebody really trying to break into your house. If those of us who have a house of our own, this person's trying to break into your house. You saw him in the act. And then when you saw him, you shouted at him and said that, "Hey, young man, well, I've caught you now. You better run away. Or otherwise, I'm going to call the police." And then you said, I'm going to call the police and they will arrest you. They will put you before the court and you'll be jailed. And then this young man looks at you. And it simply doesn't mind you. He simply goes on really pulling down the door and doing whatever he wanted to do. He's actually right in your presence, breaks down the door, gets into the house, is collecting things. Say, "Sir, did you hear what I said? Boy, if you don't stop that, I'll let the police come in here." And you're still in the act. No? Have you heard of it before? That once he's still in the act, you say, okay, come and get a check. An open check. Well, of course, it doesn't happen. He's in the act. Well, if he will stop and perhaps say, sir, forgive me, you know, I'm so broke, I'm tempted to do this, and say, okay, well, come for some 20 grand or something. That would seem a bit reasonable, isn't it? But if the person was still in the act, you don't seem to offer him anything. He's still in the act. And yet that's God's grace. We were found in the act. And yet God said, "I will act still in their favor." Grace is amazing. And if it was but it's not based on the fact that God saw me wanting to turn. It doesn't start that way. It's not because God will be gracious to me because God saw that, well, I would turn and seek him. No, it doesn't. Grace of God says that God sees me and he saw me still in the act. Still in the act of rebellion and in disobedience, despising him, ignoring him. And yet God said that I will still smile upon this poor soul. And I will still deal with him and bring him to myself. Nyankopona dum na senese. Eye nyankopo ni metini enimpa eba meso. A min fata. E san se adie no kra maso adie no kra metimu no. Se metini nyankopo adum na se me kra na me woso a eye. Me bibia emma me nka se okay me kra me pese me ye bio. Me woso a semre yesa aso de no. Enti sanyankopadum no mikra min fata. And the second reason why we cannot deserve that is that it's too great. Think of it, my dear friends. That can you imagine this? It is this that makes it all amazing. That God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, must come down to earth. The Lord of glory, we cannot take it in. The Lord of glory himself will come to take my place, the place of needy sinners, and to suffer in order to purchase that favor for me. How can I deserve that? That God himself, if it were an angel, that would have been wonderful still. But this is God. God himself came. It is the wonder of all wonders. There may fatabin sun he said, Eye nyanko ponuanu saniye. Emanu yan wanwe san said, Nyanko ponuan kasa, Ena obeje enyobonya fuse yen. And so our friends, it is so amazing, and it is so moving. You know, friends, this is why before we ever come to the Lord, if you would truly come to the Lord, the Bible says that the Bible insists upon that, that we come to a point where we realize our unworthiness. Have you felt that? Have you realized how unworthy you are before God? Dear friends, this is a world where, everybody wants to feel that he deserves something. Of course, people have responsibilities on what they should be doing, and it would be right to desire that they do it. But when it comes to Almighty God and his favor, don't approach God with any sense of deserving. Friends, we don't just talk about that. We sense it. We are aware of that. We are keenly aware. Can I expect Almighty God to be the one to visit me and to deal with my sins? Can I expect Almighty God to be the one to pay my debt? Well, of course, you can't. And yet God does it, the wonder of it. God does it, my dear friends. Do you feel worthy? Do you feel wonderful in yourself? Can I gently discourage you? People admire themselves in their own hearts. You have people that may be saying all the humble things, but they admire themselves. Years ago, there was a preacher. I'm not going to let you know who he was unless you know the story. There was a preacher who was very heavily criticized over something he was doing, and to some extent, the criticism was deserving. And then, because they heard him bragging over the kind of cars he drives and the kind of perfumes he uses, you may have heard that. And all this. And when he was responding, he said something, "Oh, people are jealous about my achievements." See, he's a wonderful man, isn't he? Dear friend, the truth is this. If you feel wonderful in yourself, you are far away from God's grace. If you feel wonderful in yourself, and you think you must be admired, and you think you must be applauded, and you think everybody must really look at you and shower on you praises, and this has gotten into your heart and head, Dear friends, the fearful thing is you are far away from God's grace. You will never come to Him. You will never seek His grace. You will feel a need for it. The grace of God says, I deserve nothing. And I cannot come before God thinking that I deserve anything. Sanyankopon bimi eche and say yem fatashi ewanyankopo eni. Samaji ye mese mi enya bi a me fata bibi wanyankopon eni media. And ye mean chi me enya sa nyankopon adumwe. Miba set nya mini shia wanyankopon eni. The third thing about this grace, it follows this very directly. It's not only undeserving, but I cannot earn that. It is a favor I cannot earn. Friends, the two are, it's very important to separate the two. You know that I may not be able to deserve something, but I can work my way to earn it. In the past, in some towns, and you may have heard the stories later, some of these, what I'm coming to describe, have brought up a number of struggles. There was a town, I remember, I forget this, the village, but this was the problem. A time came when there was a struggle over who was to sit on the throne. And the chief at the time was, people wanted to really remove him from that position. And when they were explaining the situation, this is what was said. They said that the man who sits on the throne really doesn't belong to the royal family. Because his parents, he doesn't have parents that belong to that family that make up the royal family. But how did he come to sit on the throne? Then they said this. They said, well, years ago, our forefathers had some slaves in the palace. And his father, the chief's father, was one of those favored slaves. And so he was liked in the palace. And so his line, that man's children, were also favored in the palace, were admired, they thought them qualified. And by, that man got on the throne. And now people were digging up the history to say, no, you are not a member of that royal family. You are actually a slave. You don't have to sit on the throne. Now, the point is this. He may not have deserved the throne, but he had worked this way to earn it by the favors of his father, isn't it? So, you may say, I don't deserve it, but I earned it because I did something. Yes, I did not. I have no connection, whatever, to that thing, but I came in by some other means. Now, these days in the universities do something like this, which wasn't there years ago. You don't pass your secondary school exam, your SHS exam, and you couldn't go to secondary school unless you sat that again. Otherwise, you never went to the university. And these days, they have the access courses, isn't it? So you go there, you do the access course for a year or so, and then it's okay now, you qualify to be there. So to some extent, it gives you some idea. So friends, it's important to remember that too. The grace of God says that I do not deserve it. At the same time, I cannot earn it. So that the two go together. And so it has to be free. It has to be given to the sinner free. As I say, Dima Sadiboye Nukwa, Onua Entimi Enyeshia, Ewoho. And so it is about this grace, my dear friends. And then let me touch on the fourth one very quickly. The grace of God, the Bible teaches, that it demands a response before you taste of it. You don't just listen to it. You don't just admire it. You don't just understand it and be able to explain it to people. You must personally respond to that. Sanya Kopado SSO war. We have been found. We be tumi ati ati o trim wa cha se kra cha fofro ba wan kasa wan benyan kopon ho a enyen fasuma.
And that's the question, the big question to us. So how do we respond? And our passage helps, isn't it? Look at our passage.
For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God through faith. Dear me, yet far me, yet then the third domino means that, and I'm Gideon, so Gideon, I see the saying, what is faith? Faith does not mean it's important to say what it doesn't mean first. Faith does not mean a kind of confidence in myself that I have something. That's what people think these days. A kind of a self-confidence. No. I think I'm okay. I have faith that God has heard me. Something like this. That's not faith. That's merely self-confidence. If it's something God really very often warns us against. Faith isn't self-confidence. Faith isn't a kind of assurance in yourself. I believe, I have it. Mesim in Sakam Para. My dear friends, don't fool yourself with that. Because then life will expose us eventually. Please. Faith is a real thing. Faith is a wonderful thing. It is such a mighty key that brings us into contact with God. Faith is that we call it grace also because it is God who does it. But faith is that total resting of my hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that resting of my hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ so that all self-confidence dies. You cannot say, I trust in the Lord. I rest my hopes on what He did, and I have confidence in myself. Apostle Paul puts the two together in Philippians chapter 3. He says that we are those who worship God in spirit, and that we are those who put no confidence in the flesh. It's so resting my hopes upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Resting all my hopes on what He did for me this night if I'm coming as a sinner. My hopes so rest upon Him till I know that all self-confidence dies. Anything I can attribute to self, anything as we spoke about, admire about myself, dies away. So that all I have is the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for sinners. Faith. That's the foundational aspect of faith. Gideon said, Ayesa areshemu wa irade Yesu Kristo ni de oyema emdibo nyefono. Kosi said, Emma areshemu bia miwo ewo mi ankasemu mu ayira. If the apostle Paul goes further, it begins with all confidence in myself. I reshemubi and you want me and Kasamimu. And Apostle Paul goes further in Philippians 3. All confidence I have in anything in this world also dies. Faith in Christ takes away confidence in this world because all my confidence is bound up in the Lord. So that all other confidence dies. Am I rich? Am I poor? Am I wealthy? Friends, grace requires response. You cannot. Some people ignore it. Apostle Paul says that some people make it useless. How? He explains, by trying to still receive God's acceptance through their own works. The things that they can do. Some people think that, I know I am a sinner, so this is what I would do. I will begin to now go to church very frequently. Make sure I'm baptized in the church. Make sure I become a pastor in the church. And make sure that I do some good works everywhere. And I'll make sure everything that belongs to any work of God, I will give them my money and things like this. These things may be noble in their own place. But if I'm doing these things in order to, as it were, receive God's acceptance, this is actually to trample upon God's grace. And it demonstrates human pride, my dear friends. And then when this said, me, no one pinning me. Young Copon Bunny say, I am poor, Kessuan in him, or Yenichua, dear Kessi. My dear friends, you come trusting in Christ. You trust in what he did. This is why grace begins with a sense that I deserve nothing. I am unworthy. And then genuinely, you will realize it is only Christ, it is him only that I can come to. Oh, my dear friends, can I challenge you? Have you felt your sense of unworthiness? Have you realized there's nothing you can do? Oh, friends, God is so holy. God is perfect. What can you do to earn his favor? He demands perfection from us. No one reaches there. Eradi bi sasie be di emfum ketwa kray ni ho obi to me in this ndivo enti e banin chense yeri a ye tri eradi yesu kristo china di shipo jano ko and makwa one of our hymn writers says let no other trust intrude, hymn number 455, let no other trust intrude and ma arishin fufrobia embeshim. We always counsel people, Satan's way of destroying, so sometimes he may not let you commit some what people call big sins. He will lure you into self-confidence. Here you are. You want to come to the Lord, and he whispers into your ears, oh, they're a wonderful person. You haven't done terrible things as other people have done. Look at how neat your life is. Many people your age have gotten into that and that and that. Now, if that whisper comes into your head, beg the Lord and ask, tell yourself, this is a lie. This is a lie. This is Satan's way to keep me off the way so that I do not come truly to the Lord. Because it's not true. It's not true. In that, before the standards of God, I am as guilty as all other men are. And so don't believe that lie. It is his way to destroy faith, to destroy genuine dependence upon the Lord. And so, dear friends, this is how we come, only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come up to the last one. The grace of God alone carries out a powerful effect on the sinner that receives it. The grace of God is never vain. The Bible says it's the chief conqueror of sin. It's God's number one remedy for sin. It's the only thing that can deal with sin. It makes a sinner strong so that he's no longer a slave to sin. He that receives the grace of God receives in himself a powerful strength. How does that strength come? Sanyan kupandum no. I want to read you a passage from scripture, and then I will not read that because of time, the second one. I'll tell you, it's a parable the Lord Jesus Christ gave, and it's so helpful. Please, if your Bible isn't far from you, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, listen to these words.
And I'm reading from there to So Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God, you see, it's about God's grace, isn't it? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What does the grace of God does? It teaches. It doesn't just teach, we say, it doesn't teach just the head. It teaches the heart. It brings me to realize. It brings me to that sense that I cannot live to the lust of this world and the lust of the flesh anymore. Will they cease to tempt us? No. The flesh will tempt still. The world will tempt still. But you have the strength to say, no. The grace of God gives us the enabling. So we say, the grace of God is also an enabling favor. It enables the sinner to say no to his lusts. Can the person who has received the grace of God fall into his lusts? Sadly, yes. But this is the big difference. The one who has known the grace of God, if he ever falls into any of his sinful ways, they become his biggest burden and grief and sorrow sincerely. And he ever cries to God. He ever doesn't want that kind of life anymore. He cries to God and he longs for blessing and he longs for strength. And he will see progress, that he is no longer under the mastery of that sin. Sanya nkupa adu minyo sasheno. Onye akwa emra besin kone akondo ahudu ono. Obeti miyako tomi biyo ana. Yes, obeti miyako tomi biyo. Enso. En tisen emili abesinu kone. So koto sanyo meimua. Omomboni se o excuse o adye no asane beye. He now puts up a fight. Apedio dia pre o sugunyan kopons om pesa tibieno om pesa nantino opese radi emma no edane inyan ho odine free ho ne radi tie no so o soche se nyan kopo emma no kwenim o nyan ho odine a free home. The grace of God is an enabling favor. The things we could not do, we are able now to do. And so, friends, the other thing, which is so beautifully put by the Lord Jesus Christ, is in Luke chapter 7. I'm not turning to that, but I'm just in case that you want to read that, I'll mention the other verses to you after I'm done. You remember the incident. There was this woman, she was called the street woman. That's how we tell the Sunday school children. We call her the street woman. The Lord Jesus Christ had been invited by a Pharisee to his house to eat. And this woman went in there too. And when she went, the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting. Now in those days, they didn't sit to eat as we did. Of course, they could do that too, but usually they would rather recline. That means there will be a lower table, a lower something, platform, and then they will lie on the ground, resting their shoulders on a pillow, so that their heads were closer to the platform, so the legs will lie behind them. So this woman came behind, and she began to weep, and let her tears fall on the Lord Jesus' legs, feet, and then she wiped them with her hair. She poured oil on the Lord Jesus Christ's legs, feet again, and then smeared it on, and then she kissed the Lord Jesus' feet. And then the Pharisee saw it. He's called Simon. He saw it. When he saw it, he said, "Ooh, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known that this woman is a sinner." And then the Lord Jesus, Simon said it in himself. He didn't even say it publicly. He said it in himself, and the Lord Jesus Christ knew everything.
And he said, Simon's servant, I have something to tell you. And he said, Lord, say it. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, there were two people that were in debt. Let me put it in Ghana's city so we can understand. There were two people that were in debt. One of them owed 50,000 Ghana cedis. The other one also owed 50 Ghana cedis. And all of them couldn't pay. So the creditor was merciful toward them and forgave all of them. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked Simon, so which of the two will love the creditor most? And Simon said, I suppose the one who owed him most. The Lord Jesus Christ explained, you see, Simon, since I came to your house, now, you didn't even give me water to wash my feet. This woman had washed my feet with her tears. You didn't give me oil for my legs. This woman has poured oil on my legs. You didn't kiss me. This woman has kissed my feet. I tell you, her many sins are forgiven her because she loved much. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't saying she's forgiven because she's loved much. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying her loving much demonstrates that she's forgiven. The fact that she's so now moved to want to show gratitude to me shows that her sins are forgiven. You understand the point? Grace. The grace of God. If you truly taste the grace of God, there's a sense of death that enters into your heart. You marvel at what the Savior has done. And you want to love him more than anyone else. You are moved to a sense of gratitude and death. Friends, I have to explain this. I'm going to close shortly, friends. You know, Christians are very strictly obedient. You know that? Christians are strictly obedient. If somebody professes to be a Christian, but he doesn't seem to be strict in his life, we raise questions. We ask whether such a person really knows the Lord. How does the strictness come? Now, there's a danger that the strictness will come from what we call legalism. He thinks that, hey, this is a law, I dare not break it. Oh, this is a law, I dare not break it. That's why he seems very strict. That's one way. And the Bible condemns that. It says that it's only hypocrisy, because then people only do what is outward and impress people and reserve so much in their hearts which they still commit. But this is where genuine Christian strictness comes from. It's from a sense of debt and a sense of love to the Lord. Love is far more powerful than the law. I love the Lord and therefore I want to honor him. I love the Lord. Therefore, I want my life to count for him. I love the Lord because he died for me. My love is so small, it can't pay for my sins. It is only an expression of my gratitude to him, what the Savior has done. You see, Radina Dumnese means second. Emma Mimi who said, dear Medica. I am Mr. Medinian Koponka. The grace of God is such a powerful thing that the Apostle Paul can say, when sin increases, grace even superabounds. When sin increases, God's response to it is abundance of grace. You see why? And it's in the Bible, it's about the door son. Emma, yinya body fetri finyan kopoch, body fetche finyan koponche, non by yesa mwadinwa, yet na emma yang koponi sunset, and you say, friends, have you tasted the grace of God? Have you known anything about this grace? Oh, my dear friends, Otherwise, you will stand as a person that must be judged by God. The grace of God. The grace of God. That's what we need. Come, my dear friend, come to the Savior. Trust in Him alone and what He did for sinners. And His grace will be granted you. Let me just read you that passage. And I'm done. Look at the Ephesians 2. For the grace of God, for by grace, I beg your pardon, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, you cannot get it by works, lest any man should boast.